beautiful, Ari.
Yeah, I knew I must have had a stupid grin on my face. A guy who loves his truck needs other people to admire his driving machine. Yeah, needs. That's the truth. I don't know why, but that's the way truck guys are. He shouted back toward his house.
Mom! Dad! Come look at Ari's truck!
He bounded down the stairs like a kid. Always so uncensored. Legs and I hopped out of the truck and watched Dante walk around the truck admiring it.
Not a scratch, he said.
That's because I don't drive it to school. Dante smiled.
Real chrome rims, he said.
You're a real Mexican, Ari. That made me laugh.
So are you, you jerk.
Nah, I'll never be a real Mexican.
Why did it matter so much to him?
But it mattered to me, too. He was about to say something, but he noticed his parents walking down the front steps of his house.
Great truck, Ari. Now that's a classic.
Mr. Quintana reacted just like Dante with that uncensored enthusiasm. Mrs. Quintana just smiled. The two of them walked around the truck, inspecting it, smiling at it as if they had run into an old friend.
It's a beautiful truck, Ari.
I hadn't expected that from Mrs. Quintana. Dante had already redirected his attention to Legs, who was licking his face. I don't know what came over me, but I tossed Mr. Quintana my keys.
You can take your girlfriend out for a spin if you want, I said.
There was no hesitation in his smile. I could tell Mrs. Quintana was trying to suppress the girl that was still living inside her. But even without her husband's smile, what she was holding inside of her seemed far more profound to me. It was as if I was coming to understand Dante's mother. I knew that it mattered. I wondered why. I liked watching them, all three of them around my truck. I wanted time to stop because everything seemed so simple. Dante and Legs falling in love with each other. Dante's mom and dad remembering something about their youth as they examined my truck, and me, the proud owner. I had something of value, even if it was just a truck that brought out a sweet nostalgia in people. It was as if my eyes were a camera and I was photographing the moment, knowing that I would keep that photograph forever. Dante and I sat on his steps and watched his dad start up my truck, his mother leaning into him like a girl on the first date.
Buy her a milkshake, Dante yelled. Girls like it when you buy them something.
We could see them laughing as they drove off. Your parents, I said. Sometimes they're like kids. They're happy, he said. Your parents? Are they happy? Mom and Dad, they're not at all like your mom and dad. But my mom adores my dad. I know that. And I think my dad adores my mom, too. He's just not demonstrative.
Demonstrative? That's not an Ari word.
You're making fun. I've expanded my vocabulary.
I nudged him. I'm preparing for college.
How many new words a day?
You know, a few.
I like the old words better. They're like old friends.
Dante nudged me back.
Demonstrative.
Is that word ever going to be an old friend?
Maybe not.
You're like your father, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess I am.
My mom struggles with that too, you know. She doesn't naturally display her feelings. That's why she married my dad. That's what I think. He drags it out of her, all those feelings she has.
Then it's a good match.
Yeah, it is. The funny thing is, I sometimes think my mother loves my father more than he loves her. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess so.
Maybe.
Is love a contest?
What does that mean?
Maybe everyone loves differently. Maybe that's all that matters.
You do realize you're talking, don't you? I mean, you're really talking.
I talk, Dante. Don't be a shit.
Sometimes you talk. Other times you just, I don't know, you just avoid.
I'm doing the best I can.
I know. Are there going to be rules for us, Ari?
Rules?
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I guess I do.
So what are the rules?
I don't kiss boys.
Okay, so the first rule is no trying to kiss Ari.
Yeah,
that's the first rule. And I have a rule for you.
Okay, that's fair. no running away from Dante.
What does that mean?
I think you know what it means. Someday, someone will walk up to you and say, "Why are you hanging out with that queer?" If you can't stick by me as a friend, Ari, if you can't do that, then maybe it's better that you just, you know, it would kill me. You know it would kill me if you, then it's a question of loyalty.
Yes.
I laughed. I have a harder rule to follow.
He laughed too.
He touched my shoulder, then smiled.
Bullshit, Ari. You have the harder rule to follow? Buffalo shit. Coyote shit. All you have to do is be loyal to the most brilliant guy you've ever met, which is like walking barefoot through the park. I, on the other hand, have to refrain from kissing the greatest guy in the universe, which is like walking barefoot on hot coals.
I see you still have the barefoot thing going on.
I'll always hate shoes.
We'll play that game, I said.
That game you made up to beat the hell out of your tennis shoes.
It was fun, wasn't it?
The way he said that.
Like he knew we would never play that game again.
We were too old now. We'd lost something and we both knew it.
We didn't say anything for a long time.
We just sat there on his front steps, waiting.
I looked over and saw Legs resting her head on Dante's lap.
4. Dante and I and Legs drove out to the desert that night, to my favorite spot. It was just past twilight and the stars were coming out from wherever it was they hid during the day.
Next time we'll bring my telescope.
Good idea, I said. We lay down on the bed of my truck and stared out at the new night. Legs was exploring the desert and I had to call her back. She hopped on the truck and made a space for herself between me and Dante.
I love Legs, Dante said.
She loves you back.
He pointed up at the sky.
See Ursa Major?
No.
Over there.
I studied the sky.
Yes.
Yes. I see it.
It's so amazing.
Yes, it is amazing.
We were quiet. We just lay there.
Ari?
Yeah?
Guess what?
What?
My mother's pregnant.
What?
My mom's going to have a baby. Can you believe that?
No shit.
Chicago was cold and my parents figured out a way to keep warm.
That really made me laugh.
You think parents ever outgrow sex?
I don't know.
I don't think it's something you outgrow, is it?
What do I know? I'm just waiting to grow into it.
Me too.
We were quiet again.
Wow, Dante, I whispered. You're going to be a big brother.
Yeah, a really big brother.
He looked over at me.
Does that make you think of...
What was your brother's name?
Bernardo.
Does that make you think of him?
Everything makes me think of him.
Sometimes when I'm driving along in my pickup, I think of him and I wonder if he liked trucks and I wonder what he's like and I wish I knew him and... I don't know. I just can't let it go. I mean, it's not as if I ever really knew him. So why does it matter so much?
If it matters, then it matters.
I didn't say anything.
Are you rolling your eyes?
Yeah, I guess.
I think you should confront your parents. You should just sit them down and make them tell you. Make them be adults.
You can't make anyone be an adult, especially an adult. That really made Dante laugh, and we got to laughing so hard that Legs started barking at us.
You know, Dante said, I need to take my own advice.
He paused.
I hope to God that my mother has a boy, and he better like girls, because if he doesn't, I'll kill him.
That got us to laughing again, and that got Legs to barking again. When we finally got quiet again, I heard Dante's voice and it seemed so small in the desert night.
I have to tell them, Ari.
Why?
Because I have to.
But what if you fall in love with a girl? That's not going to happen, Ari. They'll always love you, Dante. He didn't say anything. And then I heard him crying. So I just let him cry. There was nothing I could do. Except listen to his pain. I could do that. I could hardly stand it. But I could do that. Just listen to his pain. Dante, I whispered. Can't you see how much they love you? I'm going to disappoint them, just like I've disappointed you. You haven't disappointed me, Dante. You're just saying that because I'm crying. No, Dante. I got up from where I was lying and sat on the edge of the open tailgate of the truck. He sat up and we stared at each other. Don't cry, Dante. I'm not disappointed. On the way back to town, we stopped off at a drive-in burger joint and had a root beer. So what are you going to do this summer? I said. Well, I'm going to practice with the cathedral swim team, and I'm going to work on some paintings, and I'm going to get a job. Really? You're going to get a job? God, you sound like my dad. Well, why do you want to work? To learn about life. Life, I said. Work. Shit. Ecatone. Ecatone? 5. One night, Dante and I were hanging out in his room. He'd graduated to working on canvas. He was working on a large painting on an easel. It was covered over. Can I see? No. When you finish? Yes. When I finish. Okay, I said. He was lying on his bed and I was sitting on his chair. Read any good books of poems lately? I said. No, not really. He seemed a little distracted. Where are you, Dante? Here, he said. He sat up on his bed. I was thinking about the kissing thing, he said. Oh, I said. I mean, how do you know that you don't like kissing boys if you've never kissed one? I think you just know, Dante. Well, have you ever? You know I haven't. Have you? No. Well, maybe you don't really like kissing guys. Maybe you just think you do. I think we should try an experiment. I know what you're going to say, and the answer is no. You're my best friend, right? Yes, but right now I'm really regretting it. Let's just try it. No. I won't tell anyone. Come on. No. Look, it's just a kiss. You know. And then we'll both know. We already do know. We won't really know until we actually do it. No. Ari, please. Dante. Stand up. I don't know why I did it, but I did it. I stood up. And then he stood right in front of me. Close your eyes, he said. So I closed my eyes. And he kissed me. And I kissed him back. And then he started really kissing me. And I pulled away. Well, he said. Didn't work for me, I said. Nothing? Nope. Okay. It sure worked for me. Yeah, I think I get that, Dante. So, well, that's over with then, huh? Yeah. Are you mad at me? A little. He sat back down on his bed. He looked sad. I didn't like seeing him that way. I'm more mad at myself, I said. I always let you talk me into things. It's not your fault. Yeah, he whispered. Don't cry, okay? Okay, he said. You're crying. I'm not. Okay. Okay. 6. I didn't call Dante for a few days. He didn't call me either. But somehow I knew he was sulking. He felt bad. And I felt bad too. So after a couple of days passed, I called him. "You want to go running in the morning?" I said. "What time?" he said. 6:30. "Okay," he said. For someone who wasn't a runner, he ran really well. I ran a lot slower with Dante along, but that was okay. We talked a little and laughed. And afterward, we played frisbee with legs in the park, and we were all right. And I needed us to be all right. And he needed us to be all right, too. And so we were. "Thanks for calling," he said. "I thought maybe you wouldn't call anymore." Life seemed strangely normal for a while. Not that I wanted my summer to be normal, but normal was okay. I could settle for normal. I went for a run in the mornings and worked out. I went to work. Sometimes Dante called me and we talked. Not about anything in particular. He was working on a painting and he'd gotten a job at the drugstore in Kern Place. He said he liked working there because when he got off he could go to the university and spend some time in the library. Being a professor's son had its privileges. Also, he said, "You won't believe who buys condoms." I don't know if he said that to make me laugh, but it worked. "And Mom's teaching me how to drive," he said. "Mostly we fight." "I'll let you drive my pickup," I said. "My mother's worst nightmare," he said. We were laughing again, and that was good. It wouldn't be summer without Dante's laughter. We talked a lot on the phone, but we didn't see each other very much those first few weeks of summer. He was busy. I was busy. Mostly, I think we were busy avoiding each other. Even though we hadn't wanted that kiss to be a big thing, it had been a big thing. It took a while for the ghost of that kiss to disappear. One morning, when I came back from my run, my mom was gone. She left a note telling me she was going to spend the day reorganizing the food bank. "When are you going to start your Saturday afternoon shift? You promised." I don't know why, but I decided to call Dante. "I've been volunteered to work at the food bank on Saturday afternoons. Want to volunteer with me?" "Sure. What are we supposed to do?" "I'm sure my mom will train us," I said. I was glad I asked. I missed him. I missed him more now that he was back than when he had been gone. I didn't know why. I took a shower and looked at the clock. I had some time to kill. I found myself opening the drawer in the spare bedroom. I found myself holding the envelope labeled Bernardo. I wanted to rip it open. Maybe if I ripped it open, I would also be ripping open my life. But I just couldn't. I threw it back in the drawer. All day I thought of my brother. But I didn't even remember what he looked like. I kept screwing up the orders at work. The manager told me to pay attention. "I'm not paying you to be pretty." There was a cuss word in my head, but I didn't let it pass my lips. I drove by Dante's house after work. "Want to get drunk?" I said. He studied my face. "Sure." He had the decency not to ask me what was wrong. I went back home and showered, washing the smell of French fries and onion rings off my skin. My dad was reading. The house seemed quiet to me. "Where's Mom?" "She and your sisters are in Tucson visiting your Aunt Ophelia." "Oh yeah, I forgot. It's just you and me." I nodded.
"Sounds like fun."
I hadn't meant to sound so sarcastic. I could tell he was studying me.
"Is there something wrong, Ari?"
"No. I'm going out. Dante and I were going to go riding around." He nodded. He kept looking at me.
"You seem different, Ari."
"Different how?"
"Angry."
If I had been braver, this is what I would have said.
"Angry? What have I got to be angry about?"
"You know something, Dad? I don't really care that you can't tell me about Vietnam. Even though I know that war owns you, I don't care if you don't want to talk about it. But I do care that you won't talk about my brother. Damn it to hell, Dad. I can't stand to live with all your silence. I imagined his answer.
All that silence has saved me, Ari. Don't you know that? And what is this obsession you have with your brother?
I imagined my argument.
Obsession, Dad? You know what I've learned from you and Mom? I've learned not to talk. I've learned how to keep everything I feel buried deep inside of me. And I hate you for it.
Ari? I knew I was about to cry. I knew he could see that. I hated letting my dad see all that sadness inside of me. He reached for me.
Ari, don't touch me, Dad. Just don't touch me.
I don't remember driving to Dante's. I just remember sitting there in my truck, parked outside his house. His parents were sitting on the front steps. They waved at me. I waved back. And then they were standing right there, at the door of my truck. And I heard Mr. Quintana's voice.
Ari, you're crying.
Yeah, that happens sometimes, I said.
You should come inside,
Mrs. Quintana said.
No.
And then Dante was there. He smiled at me. And then he smiled at his mom and dad. Let's go, he said. His parents didn't ask any questions. I just drove. I could have driven forever. I don't know how I managed to find my spot in the desert, but I found it. It was as if I had a compass hidden somewhere inside me. One of the secrets of the universe was that our instincts were sometimes stronger than our minds. When I stopped the truck, I got out, slamming the door.
Shit!
I forgot about the beer.
We don't need the beer, Dante whispered.
We need the beer! We need the fucking beer, Dante! I don't know why I was yelling. The yelling turned into sobs. I fell into Dante's arms and cried. He held me and didn't say a word. Another secret of the universe. Sometimes pain was like a storm that came out of nowhere. The clearest summer morning could end in a downpour. Could end in lightning and thunder. 7. It was strange not having my mom around. I wasn't used to making the coffee. My dad left a note.
Are you okay?
Yeah, Dad. I was glad that Legs broke the silence of the house when she began barking. Her way of telling me it was time to go for a run. Legs and I ran faster that morning. I tried not to think of anything as I ran, but it didn't work. I thought of my dad and my brother and Dante. I was always thinking of Dante, always trying to figure him out, always wondering why it was that we were friends and why it seemed to matter so much to both of us. I hated thinking about things and people, especially when they were mysteries I couldn't solve. I changed the topic in my head to Aunt Ophelia in Tucson. I wondered why I never went to visit her. It's not as if I didn't love her. She lived alone and I could have made an effort. But I never did. I did call her sometimes. It was strange, but I could talk to her. She always made me feel so loved. I wondered how she did that. When I was drying myself off after my shower, I stared at my naked body in the mirror. I studied it. How strange to have a body. Sometimes it felt that way. Strange. I remembered what my aunt had told me once. The body is a beautiful thing. No adult had ever said that to me. And I wondered if I would ever feel like my own body was beautiful. My Aunt Ophelia had solved a few of the many mysteries of the universe. I felt as though I hadn't solved any at all. I hadn't even solved the mystery of my own body. 8. Right before I went into work, I stopped off at the drugstore where Dante was working. I think I just wanted to see that he really had a job. When I walked into the drugstore, he was behind the counter, placing cigarettes on the shelf.
Are you wearing shoes? I said.
He smiled. I stared at his name tag. Dante Q. I was just thinking of you, he said.
Yeah?
Some girls came in a little while ago.
Girls?
They knew you. We got to talking. I knew which girls they were before he told me. Gina and Susie, I said.
Yeah, they're nice. Pretty, too. They go to school with you.
Yeah, they're nice and pretty. And pushy, too.
They looked at my name tag. And then they looked at each other. And then one of them asked me if I knew you. I thought that it was a funny question to ask.
What did you tell them?
I told them, yeah. I said you were my best friend.
You told them that?
You are my best friend.
Did they ask you anything else?
Yeah, they asked if I knew anything about an accident and you breaking your legs. I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
What? Did you tell them?
Of course I told them.
You told them.
Why are you getting mad?
You told them about what happened?
Of course I did. There's a rule, Dante. You're mad? You're mad at me? The rule was we weren't supposed to talk about the accident.
Wrong.
The rule was we weren't supposed to talk about the accident with each other. The rule doesn't apply to anyone else.
There was a line forming behind me.
I have to get back to work, Dante said.
Later that afternoon, Dante called me at work.
Why are you mad?
I just don't like other people to know.
I don't get you, Ari.
He hung up the phone. What I knew was going to happen, happened. Gina and Susie showed up at the charcoaler just as I was getting off work.
You were telling us the truth, Gina said.
So what? I said.
So what? You saved Dante's life.
Gina, let's not talk about it.
You sound upset, Ari.
I don't like to talk about it.
Why not, Ari? You're a hero.
Susie Bird had this thing in her voice.
And how come, Gina said, we don't know anything about your best friend?
Yeah, how come?
I looked at both of them.
He's so cute. I'd have thrown myself in front of a moving car for him, too.
Shut up, Gina, I said.
How come he's such a secret?
He's not a secret. He just goes to Cathedral. Susie had this gaga look on her face.
Cathedral boys are so cute.
Cathedral boys suck, I said.
So when are we going to get to know him?
Never.
Oh, so you want him all to yourself.
Knock it off, Gina. You're really pissing me off.
You're really touchy about things. You know that, Ari?
Go to hell, Gina.
You really don't want us to know him, do you?
I don't really care.
You know where he works. Go badger him. Maybe that way you'll leave me alone. 9.
I don't understand why you're so upset.
Why did you tell Gina and Susie about the whole thing?
What's with you, Ari?
We agreed not to talk about it.
I don't get you.
I don't get me either. I got up from the steps of his front porch where we were sitting. I gotta go. I looked out across the street. I remembered Dante running after two boys who were shooting at a bird. I opened the door to my truck and climbed in. I slammed the door. Dante was standing in front of me.
Do you wish you hadn't saved my life? Is that it? Do you wish I was dead?
Of course not, I whispered. He just stood there looking at me. I didn't look back. I started my truck.
You are the most inscrutable guy in the universe.
Yeah, I said. I guess I am. Dad and I ate dinner together. We were both quiet. We took turns feeding Legs scraps of food.
Mom wouldn't approve.
No, she wouldn't. We smiled awkwardly at each other.
I'm going bowling. You want to go?
Bowling?
Yeah, Sam and I were going bowling.
You're going bowling with Dante's dad?
Yeah, he invited me. I thought it would be good to get out.
You and Dante want to come along?
I don't know, I said.
You guys have an argument?
No.
I called Dante on the phone. Our dads are going bowling tonight.
I know.
My dad wanted to know if we wanted to go.
Tell him no, Dante said.
Okay.
I have a better idea. Mr. Quintana picked my dad up to go bowling. I thought that was really strange. I didn't even know my dad bowled.
Boys' night out, Mr. Quintana said. Don't drink and drive, I said.
Dante's wearing off on you, he said. What's happened to that respectful young man?
He's still here, I said. I'm not calling you Sam, am I?
My dad shot me a look.
Bye, I said.
I watched them drive off. I looked at Legs.
Let's go.
She hopped in the truck and we drove to Dante's house. He was sitting on the front porch talking to his mother. I waved. Legs and I leapt out of the truck. I walked up the stairs and leaned down and gave Mrs. Quintana a kiss. The last time I'd seen her, I'd said hi and shaken her hand. I'd felt stupid.
A kiss on the cheek will do, Ari, she'd said.
So that was our new greeting. The sun was setting. Even though it had been a really hot day, the breeze was picking up, the clouds were gathering, and it looked like it might storm. Looking at Mrs. Quintana's hair in the breeze made me think of my mother.
Dante's making a list of names for his baby brother.
I looked at Dante.
What if it's a girl?
He'll be a boy.
There was no doubt in his voice.
I like Diego. I like Joaquin. I like Javier. Rafael. I like Maximiliano.
Those names sound pretty Mexican, I said.
Yeah, well, I'm shying away from ancient classical names. And besides, if he has a Mexican name, then maybe he'll feel more Mexican.
The look on his mother's face told me they'd had this discussion more than a few times.
What about Sam? I said.
Sam's okay, he said.
Mrs. Quintana laughed.
Does the mother get a say?
No, Dante said. The mother just gets to do all the work.
She leaned over and kissed him. She looked up at me.
So you two are going stargazing?
Yeah, stargazing with the naked eye. No telescopes, I said.
And it's us three. You forgot Legs.
Nope, she said. Legs is staying with me. I feel like some company.
Okay, I said, if you want.
She's a wonderful dog.
Yeah, she is.
So you like dogs now?
I like Legs.
She's sweet.
Yeah, I said. Sweet.
It's almost as if Legs knew what the score was. When Dante and I hopped into the truck, she stayed right beside Mrs. Quintana. How strange, I thought. The dog sometimes understood the needs and behaviors of human beings. Mrs. Quintana called out to me before I started the truck.
Promise me you'll be careful.
I promise.
Remember the rain, she said.
10. As I was driving toward my spot in the desert, Dante took out the goods. He waved the two joints in the air. We both smiled, then laughed.
You're a bad boy, I said.
You're a bad boy, too.
Just what we've always wanted to be.
If our parents knew, I said.
If our parents knew, he said. We laughed.
I've never done this.
It's not hard to learn.
Where'd you score this?
Daniel, this guy I work with. I think he likes me.
Does he want to kiss you?
I think so.
Do you want to kiss him back?
Not sure.
But you talked him into giving you some pot, didn't you?
Even though I kept my eye on the road, I knew he was smiling.
You like talking people into things, don't you?
I'm not going to answer that.
There was lightning in the sky and thunder and the smell of rain. Dante and I got out of the truck. We didn't say a word. He lit the joint, inhaled, then held the smoke in his lungs. Then finally, he let it out. Then he did it again and handed the joint to me. I did exactly as he did. I have to say I liked the smell, but the pot was harsh in my lungs. I fought not to cough. If Dante didn't cough, then I wasn't going to cough. We sat there passing the joint until it was gone. I felt light and breezy and happy.
It was strange and wonderful, and everything seemed far away and yet kind of close. Dante and I kept looking at each other as we sat on the tailgate of my truck. We started laughing and couldn't stop. Then the breeze became a wind, and the thunder and lightning was close and closer, and it started to rain. We ran inside the truck. We couldn't stop laughing, didn't want to stop laughing. "It's crazy," I said. "It feels so crazy." "Crazy," he said. "Crazy, crazy, crazy. God, crazy." I wanted us to laugh forever. We listened to the downpour. God, it was really raining. Like that night. "Let's go out there," Dante said. "Let's go out in the rain." I watched him as he took off all his clothes. His shirt, his shorts, his boxers. Everything except his tennis shoes, which was really funny. "Well," he said. He had his hand on the handle of the door. "Ready?" "Wait," I said. I stripped off my t-shirt and all my clothes, except my tennis shoes. We looked at each other and laughed. "Ready?" I said. "Ready," he said. We ran out into the rain. God, the drops of rain were so cold. "Shit!" I yelled. "Shit!" Dante yelled. "We're fucking crazy!" "Yeah, yeah!" Dante laughed. We ran around the truck, naked and laughing, the rain beating against our bodies. Around and around the truck we ran, until we were both tired and breathless. We sat inside the truck, laughing, trying to catch our breaths. And then the rain stopped. That was the way it was in the desert. The rain poured down, then stopped. Just like that. I opened the door to the truck and stepped out into the damp and windy night air. I stretched my arms out toward the sky and closed my eyes. Dante was standing next to me. I could feel his breath. I don't know what I would have done if he had touched me. But he didn't. "I'm starving," he said. "Me too." We got dressed and drove back into town. "What should we eat?" I said. "Menudo," he said. "You like menudo." "Yeah." "I think that makes you a real Mexican." "Do real Mexicans like to kiss boys?" "I don't think liking boys is an American invention." "You could be right." "Yeah, I could be." I shot him a look. He hated when I was right. "How about Chico's Tacos?" "They don't have menudo." "Okay, how about the Good Luck Cafe on Alameda?" "My dad loves that place. Mine too." "They're bowling," I said. "They're bowling." We were laughing so hard I had to pull over. When we finally got to the Good Luck Cafe, we were so hungry that we both had a plate of enchiladas and two bowls of menudo. "Are my eyes red?" "No," I said. "Good. I guess we can go home." "Yeah," I said. I can't believe we did that.
Me neither.
But it was fun, he said.
God, I said. It was fantastic.
11. Dad woke me early. "We're going to Tucson," he said. I sat up in bed. I stared at him.
"There's coffee."
Legs followed him out the door. I wondered if he was mad at me, wondered why we had to go to Tucson. I felt a little groggy, like I'd been woken in the middle of a dream. I slipped on a pair of jeans and headed for the kitchen. Dad handed me a cup of coffee.
"You're the only kid I know who drinks coffee."
I tried to go with the small talk, tried to pretend I hadn't had that imaginary conversation with him. Not that he knew what I'd said. But I knew. And I knew I'd meant to say those things, even if I hadn't. "Someday, Dad, kids all over the world will be drinking coffee."
"I need a cigarette," he said.
Legs and I followed him into the backyard. I watched him light a cigarette. "How was bowling?" He smiled crookedly.
"It was kind of fun.
I'm a crappy bowler. Luckily, so was Sam.
You should get out more, I said.
You too,
he said.
He took a drag off his cigarette.
Your mom called late last night. Your aunt had a very serious stroke.
She's not going to make it.
I remembered living with her one summer. I was a small boy and she was a kind woman. She'd never married. Not that it mattered. She knew about boys and knew how to laugh and knew how to make a boy feel as though he was the center of the universe. She'd lived a life separate from the rest of family for reasons no one had ever bothered to explain to me. I never cared about that.
Ari, are you listening?
I nodded.
You go away sometimes.
No, not really. I was just thinking. I spent a summer with her when I was little.
Yes, you did. You didn't want to come back home.
I didn't? I don't remember.
You fell in love with her.
He smiled. Maybe I did. I can't remember not loving her. And that's weird.
Why is that weird?
I don't feel that way about my other uncles and aunts. He nodded.
The world would be lucky to have more like her. She and your mother wrote to each other every week. A letter a week for years and years and years.
Did you know that?
No.
That's a lot of letters.
She saved them all.
I took a sip of my coffee.
Can you make arrangements at work, Ari?
I could imagine him in the military, taking charge. His voice calm and undisturbed. Yeah. It's only a job flipping burgers. What can they do, fire me? Legs barked at me. She was used to her morning run. I looked at my dad. What are we going to do about Legs?
Dante, he said.
His mother answered the phone. Hi, I said. It's Ari.
I know, she said. You're up early.
Yeah, I said. Is Dante up?
Are you kidding, Ari? He gets up a half hour before he has to be into work. He won't get up a minute earlier.
We both laughed. Well, I said, I sort of need a favor.
Okay, she said.
Well, my aunt had a stroke. My mom was visiting her. My dad and I are leaving as soon as we can. But then there's Legs, and I thought maybe... She didn't let me finish my sentence.
Of course we'll take her. She's great company. She fell asleep on my lap last night.
But you work and Dante works.
It will be fine, Ari. Sam's home all day. He's finishing his book.
Thanks, I said.
Don't thank me, Ari.
She sounded so much happier and lighter than the woman I'd first met. Maybe it was because she was going to have a baby. Maybe that was it. Not that she still didn't get after Dante. I hung the phone up, packed a few things. The phone rang. It was Dante.
Sorry about your aunt, but hey, I get Legs.
He could be such a boy. Maybe he would always be a boy, like his dad. Yeah, you get Legs. She likes to run in the morning. Early.
How early?
We get up at 5:45.
5:45? Are you crazy? What about sleep?
That guy could always make me laugh. Thanks for doing this, I said.
Are you okay? He said.
Yeah.
Did your dad give you hell for coming in so late?
No. He was asleep.
My mom wanted to know what we were up to.
What did you tell her?
I told her we didn't get to watch any stars because of the storm. I said it was raining like hell and we just got stuck in the storm. And we just sat in the truck and talked. And when the rain stopped, we got hungry, so we went out for menudo. She looked at me funny. She said, why don't I believe you? And I said, because you have a very suspicious nature. And then she dropped the whole thing.
Your mom has hyper instincts, I said.
Yeah, well, she can't prove a thing.
I bet she knows.
How would she know?
I don't know, but I bet she knows.
You're making me paranoid.
Good. We both cracked up laughing.
We dropped off Legs at Dante's house later that morning. My dad gave Mr. Quintana a key to our house. Dante got stuck with watering my mom's plants. "And don't steal my truck," I said. "I'm Mexican," he said. "I know all about hot wiring." That really made me laugh. "Look," I said, "eating menudo and hot wiring a truck are two totally different forms of art." We smirked at each other. Mrs. Quintana shot us a look. We drank a cup of coffee with Dante's mom and dad. Dante gave Legs a tour around the house. "I'm betting Dante is going to encourage Legs to chew up all his shoes." We all laughed except my dad. He didn't know about Dante's war against shoes. We laughed even harder when Legs and Dante walked back into the kitchen. Legs was carrying one of Dante's shoes in her mouth. "Look what she found, Mom!" 12. My father and I didn't talk all that much on the drive to Tucson.
"Your mother's sad," he said.
I knew he was thinking back.
"You want me to drive?"
"No," he said. But then he changed his mind.
"Yes."
He got off at the next exit and we got some gas and coffee. He handed me the keys. His car handled a lot easier than my truck. I smiled. I've never driven anything besides my truck.
"If you can handle that truck, you can handle anything."
"I'm sorry about last night," I said. "It's just that sometimes I have things running around inside me, these feelings. I don't always know what to do with them." "That probably doesn't make any sense."
"It sounds normal, Ari."
"I don't think I'm so normal."
"Feeling things is normal."
"Except I'm angry. And I don't really know where all that anger comes from."
"Maybe if we talked more."
"Well, which one of us is good with words, Dad?"
"You're good with words, Ari. You're just not good with words when you're around me."
I didn't say anything. But then I said, "Dad, I'm not good with words."
"You talk to your mother all the time."
"Yeah, but that's because it's a requirement." He laughed.
"I'm glad she makes us talk.
We'd die in our own silence if she wasn't around."
"Well, we're talking now, aren't we?"
I glanced over and saw him smiling. "Yeah, we're talking." He rolled down the window.
"Your mother doesn't let me smoke in the car. Do you mind?"
"No, I don't mind." That smell, cigarette, it always made me think of him. He smoked his cigarette. I drove. I didn't mind the silence and the desert and the cloudless sky. What did words matter to a desert? My mind drifted. I thought of Legs and Dante. I wondered what Dante saw when he looked at me. I wondered why I didn't look at the sketches he gave me. Not ever. I thought of Gina and Susie and wondered why I never called them. They bugged me, but that was their way of being nice to me. I knew they liked me. And I liked them back. Why couldn't a guy be friends with girls? What was so wrong with that? I thought about my brother and wondered if he'd been close to my aunt. I wondered why such a nice lady had divorced her family. I wondered why I'd spent a summer with her when I was only 4.
"What are you thinking?"
I heard my father's voice. He hardly ever asked that question. "I was thinking about Aunt Ophelia."
"What were you thinking?"
"Why did you send me to spend the summer with her?" He didn't answer. He rolled down the window and the heat of the desert came pouring into the air-conditioned car. I knew he was going to smoke another cigarette. "Tell me," I said.
"It was just around the time of your brother's trial," he said.
That was the first time he'd ever said anything to me about my brother. I didn't say anything. I wanted him to keep talking.
"Your mother and I were having a very difficult time.
We all were.
Your sisters, too.
We didn't want you to..." He stopped.
"I think you know what I'm trying to say."
He had a very serious look on his face. More serious than usual.
"Your brother loved you, Ari. He did. And he didn't want you to be around. He didn't want you to think of him that way.
So you sent me away?
Yeah. We did.
It didn't solve a damn thing, Dad. I think of him all the time.
I'm sorry, Ari. I'm really sorry.
Why can't we just...
Ari, it's more complicated than you think.
In what way?
Your mother had a breakdown.
I could hear him smoking his cigarette.
What? You were at your Aunt Ophelia's for more than a summer. You were there for 9 months. Mom?
I can't... It's just... Mom. Mom really had... I wanted to ask my dad for a cigarette.
She's so strong, your mother. But, I don't know. Life isn't logical, Ari.
It was like your brother had died. And your mother became a different person. I hardly recognized her. When they sentenced him, she just fell apart. She was inconsolable. You have no idea how much she loved your brother. And I didn't know what to do. And sometimes, even now, I look at her and I want to ask, is it over? Is it? When she came back to me, Ari, she seemed so fragile. And as the weeks and months went by, she became her old self again. She got strong again, and... I listened to my dad cry. I pulled the car over to the side of the road. I'm sorry, I whispered. I didn't know. I didn't know, Dad. He nodded. He got out of the car. He stood out in the heat. I knew he was trying to organize himself, like a messy room that needed to be cleaned up. I left him alone for a while. But then, I decided I wanted to be with him. I decided that maybe we left each other alone too much. Leaving each other alone was killing us. Dad, sometimes I hated you and Mom for pretending he was dead.
I know. I'm sorry, Ari. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
13. By the time we reached Tucson, my Aunt Ophelia was dead. There was standing room only at her funeral mass. It was obvious that she had been deeply loved. By everyone except her family. We were the only ones there. My mom, my sisters, me, and my dad. People I didn't know walked up to me. Ari? They would ask. Yes, I'm Ari. Your aunt adored you. I was so ashamed. For having kept her on the margins of my memory. I was so ashamed. 14. My sisters went back home after the funeral. My mom and dad and I stayed on. My mom and dad closed up my aunt's house. My mom knew exactly what to do, and it was almost impossible for me to imagine her residing on the borders of sanity. "You keep watching me," she said one night as we watched a summer storm coming in from the west.
"Do I?"
"You've been quiet."
"Quiet's pretty normal for me."
"Why didn't they come?" I asked. "My uncles and aunts. Why didn't they come?"
"They didn't approve of your aunt."
"Why not?" "She lived with another woman for many years."
"Franny," I said. "She lived with Franny. You remember?"
"Yes, a little. Not much. She was nice. She had green eyes. She liked to sing."
"They were lovers, Ari."
I nodded.
"Okay,"
I said.
"Does that bother you?"
"No." I kept playing with the food on my plate. I looked up at my father. He didn't wait for me to ask my question.
I loved Ophelia, he said. She was kind and she was decent.
It didn't matter to you that she lived with Franny?
To some people it mattered, he said. Your uncles and aunts, Ari, they just couldn't.
But it didn't matter to you? My father had a strange look on his face, as if he was trying to hold back his anger. I think I knew that his anger was aimed at my mother's family, and I also think he knew that his anger was useless.
If it had mattered to us, do you think we'd have let you come and stay with her?
He looked at my mother. My mother nodded at him.
When we get back home, she said,
I'd like to show you some pictures of your brother. Would that be okay? She reached over and wiped my tears. I couldn't speak. We don't always make the right decisions, Ari. We do the best we can. I nodded, but there weren't any words, and the silent tears just kept running down my face like there was a river inside me. I think we hurt you. I closed my eyes and made the tears stop. And then I said, I think I'm crying because I'm happy.
15. I called Dante and told him that we'd be back in a couple of days. I didn't tell him anything about my aunt, except that she'd left me her house.
What?
He said.
Yeah. Wow. Wow was right. Is it a big house?
Yeah, it's a great house.
What are you going to do with the house?
Well, apparently there's a friend of my aunt's who wants to buy it.
What are you going to do with all that money?
I don't know. I haven't thought about it.
Why do you suppose she left you the house?
I have no idea.
Well, you can quit your job at the charcoaler.
Dante. He could always make me laugh. So what have you been up to?
Working at the drugstore, and I'm sort of hanging out with this guy, he said.
Yeah? I said.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask his name, but I didn't. He changed the subject. I knew when Dante was changing the subject.
My mom and dad are in love with legs.
16. On the 4th of July, we were still in Tucson. We went to watch the fireworks. My dad let me have a beer with him. My mother tried to pretend she didn't approve. But if she hadn't approved, she would have put a stop to it.
It's not your first beer, is it, Ari?
I wasn't going to lie to her.
Mom, I told you when I broke the rules, I was going to do it behind your back.
Yes, she said. That's what you said.
You weren't driving, were you?
No.
You promise?
I promise.
I drank the beer slowly and watched the fireworks. I felt like a small boy. I loved fireworks, the explosions in the sky, the way the crowd sometimes oohed and ahed and oohed. Ophelia always said Franny was the 4th of July.
That's really a great thing to say, I said.
So what happened to her?
She died of cancer.
When?
About 6 years ago, I guess.
Did you come to the funeral?
Yes.
You didn't bring me.
No.
She used to send me Christmas gifts.
We should have told you.
17.
I think my mother and father had decided that there were too many secrets in the world. Before we left my aunt's house, she put two boxes in the trunk of the car.
What's that? I asked.
The letters I wrote to her.
What are you going to do with them?
I'm going to give them to you.
Really?
I wondered if my smile was as big as hers.
Maybe as big.
But not as beautiful.
18.
On the drive back to El Paso from Tucson, I sat in the back seat.
I could see that my mom and dad were holding hands.